We're here in Royal Pavilion Gardens. It's the end of the first week of Brighton Fringe. Now, the man that I'm going to ask him to introduce himself in a moment is somebody that I think almost everybody in Brighton has walked past him at some point and thought, I know him. Where do I know him from? He is...
My name's Adam Duncan, and I just bumped into Paul having a baked potato here. And it's a great opportunity for me to advertise the show that we're doing next week.
But before you do any advertising, I want to hear about the show. And also, you know, why does almost everybody think they've known you from somewhere? You've been about a bit, sir, haven't you?
Yeah, I've just been around a long time, you know. So, not I don't know. I used to be a director of Lighthouse a long time ago. I had production companies in Brighton and, just been around, really.
So give me the update, the 50-year update to doing a show at the Brighton Fringe.
I used to write. I used to write a long time ago. I did a lot of work with the BBC, TV and radio, and then I gave up writing in 2000. I spent more time with my kids and stopped living in a fantasy world. It seemed like quite a good idea.
And what did you do? Did you break the pencil in half and said, I'm not writing?
Sort of, yeah. I mean, it was a very clear cut-off for me, and I haven't written for 15 years. And then I did a death doula course in Lewes. Death doulas are people that look after dying families, etc. And it was a wonderful course, and I really connected with the people there. A lot of them work in hospices, etc. And out of that, I decided to write this show called The Seven Ages and the Dance of Life and Death. And we did it last November in St. Augustine's, which is a beautiful building on the edge of Preston Park, being renovated by property developers, and it's an arts centre now. And we're doing the show there again. We did seven performances in November, and we're doing seven performances from the 23rd of May through to the 27th of May. It's a big cast. Not a big cast, but there's a lot of musicians, there's dancers, there's African drummers. It's a great show. And
that's the advert, just so everyone listening. We've got that out of the way. Yeah. You may not know this, Adam, but just over a year ago, actually, I died and I went purple. I did my death cough on the floor and my wife had to resuscitate me. Wow. It is a bit of a weird thing, isn't it, death?
Death, it's the cradle of my love of life is one of the lines from the show. It's actually a line from Stephen Jenkinson, but... it's death in our culture is very much pushed aside. It's taboo. But if you've had a near-death experience or you have been close to death, then you probably do live life in a fuller, more intense way, possibly. And was that your experience?
Well, I thought we could check this out because I absolutely, at that moment, looked back and thought, you know, it has been a rich life, and I felt relieved at the things that I had done, tried and failed, but it was a fairly full life. Actually, round the table as well, he's drinking his tea, is Luke Flegg, who loads of other people know all over the city, and he's a lot younger than us. But you are a bit of a whippersnapper compared to us. Are you scared of death?
While you were chatting, I was just thinking, for me it's very much when I felt most in touch with death. Not so much like personally directly myself, because I've been lucky enough to be pretty healthy and just sort of in my early 30s, but you can
lucky still... indeed he's having a scone with clotted cream.
But like, it's still possible to choose to be, you know, close to or in touch with death, right? You can, and in so many different ways. And for me, I think when I was a young kid, I was being passionate about photography and filmmaking. I was learning a lot about like Magnum Photography Agency and like really deep diving into some quite traumatic, quite scary stories from around the world of some of the bravest artists choosing to put their life on the line. You know, some of them, even despite having families, these photographers are going to war zones or humanitarian crises and capturing untold stories that have, you know, shaped the narrative of the Vietnam War or whatever. I think that felt really like, wow, that kind of puts into perspective where I am in my life and what it means to be alive.
So you are scared then?
I quite like that Woody Allen quote that's like, not scared of death, I just don't want to be there when it happens. Yeah. I don't mind being dead. I think it's like, I am, yeah, kind of the unknown of the transition feels like scary. I don't like the idea of losing my capacity to fully engage with life gradually more and more and more over years.
Okay, which is more the process of dying. And also, Edinburgh Fringe last year, I think the year before, they launched Death on the Fringe. And that is a particular website that lists over 50 shows, Fringe, from comedy to cabaret to theatre, all about facing death. So you've got choices then as a theatre, as a showmaker, and you've already hinted it's got a lot of people in it. How did you start to make decisions about what kind of show this would be?
Based on the Seven Ages of Man speech, All the World's a Stage, All the Men and Women Merely Players, breaks it down obviously into seven ages. And I kind of wanted to update that and work with it and subvert it. I mean, the character in Shakespeare, Jaques, is quite cynical. He's a cynical poet. And I wanted to kind of really question his thinking around death, because it's our cultural thinking is death is, you know, aging, death, it's depressing. We live in a youth culture. But actually, I'm 70. And I know a lot of people in their 70s that are really having the best time in their life.
Yeah. And with the current technological predictions, you've only got another 50 years to go then.
Yeah, well, I'm getting upgrades as I go along, so it'll be longer than that, hopefully. Yeah. You know, but I don't care. I mean, it's not about longevity. It's really not about longevity for me. It's about living every day to my full potential. That's all it is, you know.
So if you were offered, and it's called The Technological Singularity by Ray Kurzweil, and apparently it's coming in 2046, but, you know, if I can inject into you an implant into your brain, and you'll still have a sense of who you are, but we can stave it off for another 60, 70 years, are you going to take that?
Well, it sounds like a pact with the devil to me. You know, the devil.
Well, it might be a pact with Google, because someone's got a supplier.
Well, that's what I said, the devil, didn't I? It sounds highly dodgy to me. I wouldn't say I wouldn't take it, but I kind of want to read the small print.
So you've chosen the content, and in terms of the things you were just hinting at, the dramas and all of that, what made you decide to go for a big show about this?
It's community. I, the reason I'm doing the show, besides a passion for this subject, is I want connection with people in the community, and there's a lot of Buddhists involved in it. I practice some type of Buddhism, Japanese Buddhism, and a lot of them are involved in it, but it's not just Buddhists, it's connection, and it's good to be working in theatre again. I mean, I did it in my 20s, and I'm sort of back there again, which is a strange quirk of fate.
Someone who might be sitting here in the gardens who's terrified of death so much they don't even think about it, what would be the journey from that point for them to say, I'm going to come and see your show?
It's like any fear, you know, there's some gold there. So there's something there that could be a real, real use if you look at that. You can choose to ignore it, but this is an opportunity to see something that you're probably missing in life if you are just terrified of death. My son said to me, "Don't talk to me about death, Dad. I don't want to know about it." And I'm slowly kind of winding him in. So, yeah, there's a lot of fear of death, especially around youth. Young people, they don't want to look at it. And I think there's gold there. I think there's real something to be mined that is good. It's about our mortality is what makes us human, is what makes us connect, it's what makes us love, it's what makes us... It's what gives us joy, I think.
And so when we come to the show, what are we going to experience?
Hopefully some fun, some insights, some music, and, some involvement as well, some real involvement. Hopefully it's not just sitting on the, you know, back in your seat and watching it from an academic point of view. Hopefully there's a real... kind of engagement in this process of aging, because we're all aging, everybody's aging.
So offering that to young young man here, Luke. Yeah. So there must be gold in aging too, not just gold in death.
Yeah, I think for me, like people up to the age of 50, it looks looking back at it, it looks really tough world to be in. The pressures on men, particularly in what Shakespeare calls the soldier stage, you know, in their 40s and 50s, really, really tough. The pressure to family, whatever it is, you know, work, to achieve, to meet your full potential. Once you get to a certain age, the pressure's off a bit. You haven't done it, you have done it. But you can just enjoy life a bit more.
Well, I've heard also it was just more the pressures of the fact that now it's just the women all having to pay off the men's debts at that age.
Well, that may be personal experience. Yeah,
yeah. But, you know, I guess I'm saying, you know, that Shakespearean thing now is so many of us.
Yeah.
Now, this kind of corporate West is whether you're a man or a woman. And actually, now I'm meeting people younger than Luke that look like they're 40, laden down with debt, can't afford the rent. You know, we're all aging beyond our years, aren't we? We don't seem to have the decades of making those mistakes and looking back and saying how young and naive I was. So I'm worried that we're going to get to a stage where those 80-year-olds aren't looking forward with any relish at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, I won't be around, so I'm not...
Well, you might be.
Yeah, it's... as I say, for me, the important thing is that, the message is really that, you know, aging isn't shit. You know, there's some real joy in aging, in being able to step back and really connect with your friends and your colleagues. I didn't have that time when I was younger. I was always trying to prove myself. I've given up trying to prove myself.
Adam,
now.
I cross the other side of the street sometimes when I see you because you feel a lot younger than I do. Now, that's a question, really, that you have done a lot. You have changed a lot. You've been in the creative industries. But do you think part of being young is that as soon as you fix too much on one thing, it's good to undo it just for the hell of it?
Yeah, well, that's a big question. I don't want to give any advice.
No?
No, I don't want to give any advice. I'm not insured, you know.
Okay. That sounds like a scared man.
I'm a scared man, yeah. No, it's just, you know, people's path. I mean, I've just about working out my own path. I've got no kind of real advice to give other than...
Come and see my show.
Come and see the show and see what you make of it. Yeah.
And also one last thing on that, which is you mentioned being 70. You know, is making a piece of art like this, a show, is that a good way of confronting? Is it a rite of passage of hitting 70? That's the way you're doing it.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not. It's not like an old age crisis.
Okay.
I don't think.
Oh.
I don't think so.
Oh,
it could be.
Okay.
It might be. you can be the judge, but no, it's. I'm feeling more creative now than I ever have done in my life. Actually, I'm buzzing with ideas, and you know whether they succeed or fail, I don't. You know, it's not the point. I just keep going.
One last question.
Okay,
in the audience for your show are versions of you through the seven ages of man.
Oh.
And they're all there, and they'll come up to you afterwards.
Oh, no,
you can pick any out you like, but what feedback would they give you about your show?
Oh, God, that is really nasty, Paul.
Oh, sorry, I thought it was nice. Go on, I'll pick up the most positive one. Who would come up to you at what age and go, I'm really glad that that's the life ahead?
Yeah, well... I was very afraid of death, till in my 50s. But, you know, a lot of it is my personal childhood and my adolescence. The show, that's what it's about. And it's a bit dark.
Okay.
And I think if my child saw this show, I'm so far apart from my child.
Okay, they wouldn't recognise you.
I don't think he'd recognise me, no. I don't know. I've got an inner child that's frantically working a lot of the time.
But that suggests you've changed a lot from whoever. I meet some people I've known since they were seven, and they went into a job at 15, and they're the same people.
No, you're not.
You're an unrecognisable version of your younger self.
I was totally lost until I was at least 30. I mean, I had no idea what I was doing.
Okay.
None at all.
Okay, so say the 35-year-old comes to see it.
Okay, 35 comes to see it. And I think you'd be surprised that I'm still alive. Very surprised. I mean, I was a thief, you know, a full-time thief. Took a lot of drugs. And up until about 32 is when I stopped. So I think he'd be really surprised that I'm still alive.
So he thinks you look kind of shockingly well.
Maybe, yes.
You've got a real sparkle in your eyes.
Oh, bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, so have you.
Okay, just go up at 42, 49. turning 50.
50. 50, I was... I think I was really working so much from the ego, you know.
Okay.
And I think, actually, the journey, as you age, goes into the soul.
Okay.
And if that sounds a bit kind of, you know...
Yeah.
So,
well, it could be because the soul is what survives.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I didn't know about that journey then, but sort of in the 60s I started to see that the soul was I can't define it, but there was something going on that wasn't the ego. And it felt like something that was... It had a kind of eternal quality to it, an infinite quality to it. And, you know, so connecting... So it is a spiritual show. I mean, there is a death scene. It ends with death.
Yeah.
There is a death scene, but it's a celebration.
Spoiler.
Yeah. I mean, spoiler alert, yeah. And the guy who plays the child is 76 years old. And the guy is the same guy who plays the dying guy. He's 76. He's a great actor, really great actor, Garth Spears.
I'm getting worried now. I'm getting worried because, you know, this is... Man is 70, as the Old Testament says, and this show ends with a death. Oh. But anyway, I really do wish all 7 years apart they all came to see your show. I'd love to be in on that conversation, but this sounds like a really unique show at The Fringe, and the spirit of community is the spirit of Fringe as well. So thanks for talking to Fringe Review.
Thank you so much, Paul.